Good morning. Yeah, just say, hey, good morning, Lord. That was weak. Hey! Yeah. I know sometimes it's hard to yell when you've been in encountering the Lord. Hey, if you're here, let's be all here. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so put your ears on to listen. Today, it is my earnest desire and my prayer that as I bring this word to you today, that you don't find condemnation in this word, but you find the love of Christ, knowing His grace that has been poured out upon all of us that believe. But today's message is a message of instruction. It's a message of training. And like I said, it's not, the Lord didn't lay it on my heart to bring condemnation to you, but the Lord brought it on my heart to bring truth to you. Amen? And in the process of this, you know, I was seeking the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, we just went through this thing that we call Holy Week. We just went through this process where we celebrated the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. We celebrated what He did for the disciples and the example that He laid for us as believers in the Last Supper, the communion, the service, the servant leadership to serve others. We then went into Good Friday, and I know many of you were a part of this, and we're just celebrating Him. And then last Sunday was that day where He is risen, Resurrection Sunday, the day that gives us as believers everything that we know and have as believers through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Listen, without the resurrection, we wouldn't be where we're at right now. All right? He's alive, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He has promised us the same things. And so in the process of that, I was praying, Lord, okay, as I'm bringing a message, what message is it that You want me to bring? And it kind of just dropped in my heart. He is risen. Now what? You know, we just went through all of this. What do we do with this understanding of Jesus Christ? What do we do with the understanding of what He's done for us? And what is our role in the whole process of this? Why did God give His Son to die for us? And why did God have His Son, Jesus Christ, go through all the suffering to take our sins? And why are we saved by grace and all those things? And the key is as a minister, and all of us who have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are ministers, right?
Amen.
To reconcile those who don't know Jesus to Jesus, right?
Amen.
And that takes us to Scripture, and this is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm reading out of Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And it says, the 11 disciples went to the mountain in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they bowed down in worship, though some had doubts. This is after Jesus' resurrection and Him appearing. When Jesus came near, He spoke to them, and He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, so wherever you go, say you means me, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything that I have commanded you, and remember that I am always with you until the end of the time. Now, what is the commandment that Jesus gave? Thursday night, that Maundy Thursday that we just celebrated, love others as I have loved you. In this, they will know that you are my disciples. And so what he told his disciples is he said, go and make other disciples. And so, He is risen. Now what? The now what is to all believers to go and make disciples. And I want to challenge us on this day. And I know that many of the times we're not living in the same time period as those disciples were. Jesus came to them and said, hey, leave your boat, leave your family, come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And those disciples left everything that they had, and they followed Jesus. Now, what was the thing that made them disciples? They followed Jesus. And they had a 3-year time period, guys, to make all of this happen. In other words, it's not overnight that you become a disciple. So don't feel bad if you don't feel like you're there. Again, I'm not preaching condemnation. But it took time and it took energy, and that's what I want to talk about more today. And I'm going to go through my notes here because I don't want to get off track. But sometimes, you know, I just kind of get off track. But anyways, so making disciples is the now what. The now what is making disciples. Are you with me? Okay. There is a difference, friends, between being a believer and being a disciple. And I want to explain this. So just a simple definition of believer is a person who feels certain about the truth or the religion or religious ideas. So all believers, all of us, if Jesus Christ is our Lord, all of us in here, we're believers, right? Because I am certain about the truth of my religion, and that is of Christianity and Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. I am certain about that. I'm a believer. And it was that belief, my faith in that, through the grace of God, that brought salvation to me. Amen? But I'm not a disciple. When I got saved, I wasn't a disciple. When I got saved, I was a believer. All right? There's a difference. Now, simple definition of disciple is a follower or a student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. So, when I got saved, I'm just talking about my life, there was just supernatural transformation, and I was so excited about the things of God that at that point in time, I started my discipling process. So, I've been saved 11 years, and when we're talking about being a believer, 11 years really isn't that much time, right? Because I know people who have been believers for 40, 50, 60 years. But I've also been a disciple for 11 years. The disciples of Jesus were discipled and following him for 3 years before they were sent off on their own. So I want, what I'm trying to get at is, until you get into that place where you're a student of the person that you're following or believing in, that discipling process doesn't take place. See, what happens many times is we believe in Jesus Christ. And somebody who maybe led you in this process of coming to know Jesus Christ, and you made that accountability point where you said, you know what? Yes, I believe. I want to be saved. They'll tell you, the person that led them, you know what? Now get yourself involved in a church. Now get yourself around other believers. Now get yourself accountable with other believers so that you start doing the right thing. What happens many times is that that person who is a believer says, yeah, let me try church. And they go to church and they miss out on the following of Jesus, and church now just becomes kind of like a social club to them. And they come to church, and it's like, now I belong to something, and now I've got other people, and I've got friends, and I feel love. Hopefully, you come to church, you feel love, right? I feel love. But they still are missing out on that element of following Jesus. Do you see, in worship, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but this is going over the waves too on Facebook, and all of us need to be reminded of this. When we come to church on Sunday, it should be exciting for you. If you're heavy and laden and burdened, it can be like a hospital, but find the healing during that service. Take the things that are heavy on your mind and lay them to the side and focus on Jesus and what he did. And at that point, when you're focused again on Jesus and not the problem, all of a sudden, Jesus becomes the main focal point and not the problem. And then you leave here never again the same. In Jesus' name. Does it make sense? So what I want to encourage is don't always find yourself, or if you are in this place right now, coming to church just because you want to see the other people. I would hope that when you come to church, you're looking for Jesus too. Okay, and now many times that's looking at the Jesus within us. But when I'm in worship and I'm listening to these words and I'm listening to it is well with my soul, I'm taking those words deep into my soul, into my heart. I'm saying, Lord, yes, open my ears. It is well. And then all of a sudden, God starts to remind me of all the beautiful things that have been taking place in my life and not the negative things. And now I'm praising and worshiping and glorifying God, and I get lost in that atmosphere. I'm not worried about the kids that are running around making noise or people who are talking or trying to allow other things to take me out. Now, don't try to do that just to see if I'm, you know, telling the truth, right? No, but I find myself in worship, not listening to a band, not in a concert setting, but in worship. And I'm following and are falling more and more in love with Jesus because you know, I could sit back here and I could hold hands with my wife and kind of be with her, but I'm choosing to just be by myself. Why? Because it's my time with Jesus. It's him and I time. It's me and him. And it's important to me and my development as a Christian. I haven't arrived. None of us ever will. That day that we graduate and go on to be with glory, we'll know more than we know now. Amen. We will not know everything down here. That's why it's a continual learning process, a continual moving. Turning the page. So if you do find yourself coming to church and it's more of a social club and not getting into the true element of what coming together and corporate worship and fellowship is all about, know that Jesus is the reason for everything. Amen? Now, again, believer, disciple. A believer is certain in their belief. They're certain that what they're following is right, or they're not maybe following. What they are is they're certain about their belief system and their religion. But a disciple is the one who is following the teaching. Now, we preach often, because this is possible, that through Jesus Christ, you can have an abundant life, right? John 10:10, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. So we're preaching, guys, you can have abundant life. Matter of fact, you can have heaven on earth. To just believe in Jesus Christ, though, doesn't take you to that place of having the abundant life. Because I know believers who aren't in church. I know believers who are separating themselves from everything. I know believers that are walking in the world and then asking forgiveness every single day of their life, and they're just faltering. But to be a disciple means that you start getting into books of wisdom in the Bible, like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and you start seeing what Jesus laid out as examples, and you start seeing what Paul laid out as more examples as he wrote all these letters to all these other churches through Corinth and Galilee or Galatia and Ephesus. And all of a sudden, you're looking in there and you're going, oh, if I want this, I need to do this. Now all of a sudden, you start following. And when you're following that word, you're now a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yep. Does it make sense? Amen. I'm sure all of us know believers, but they don't take the time, or maybe they just don't know that there's more to life as a Christian than just believing, right? So we have things like Bible studies. We have things like Sunday services. We have things where we try to get together with other believers. All of this is a process of being discipled. But it means that there's certain sacrifices that have to take place. Because you see, it's not all about you now when you're a disciple. It's that servant leadership. It's about others as well. It's about opening yourself up. We're called to make disciples, not just be a believer. Jesus had, this is important, many believers and followers, but he only discipled 12. Are you with me? There was he ministered to the multitudes, 5,000, and fed them, and signs and wonders. There was thousands of people during his ministry reign where people were followers of him and believed. But he only had 12 disciples. Now, what was significant about the disciples? The disciples were with him every day. The disciples were learning from him every day. They were following him. They were being taught by him. They were being ministered to him, or he was ministering to them. This was all taking place. When we're talking about a church being really strong and having a strong family unit and being on fire for the things of God, just being a believer, I don't believe is enough, guys. That'll get you to heaven. But there's more than just going to heaven, because you can have heaven on earth. And that is the discipleship process of going deeper into the things of the Lord. And don't get lost or confused on this word deeper. I'm just saying involving yourself in the process of what ministry is all about, because all of us have that. All of us have the potential to be disciples. Matter of fact, he wants us all to be disciples. You have to be a disciple before you can disciple others. You can't have a believer discipling somebody if they're not a disciple themselves. Hey, you know, yeah, I don't go to church and I'm not involved with anybody else and I haven't picked my Bible up. I do believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But you know what? You probably should get in church and you should probably do something. You see, disciples lead by example. Disciples set the example. Disciples lay down their life for others. The Bible says that there is no greater love, right, than to lay down your life for others. Now, I want to go a little step further in that. I'm not just talking about your natural human life, but you know, if I've got time that I can spend with my wife, but there is somebody I'm discipling that needs a little extra encouragement, and I lay down the time that we can spend with each other to go encourage and talk with this other individual, that's laying down my life. I want you guys to see something like that, because time is important, especially in this year, 2018. Everybody is always talking about how busy they are, right? I am so busy. I am so busy. I am so busy. I say it too, guys. I am so busy. But in the busyness, what are you doing? What is taking place? You first have to be willing to learn to be a disciple. You first have to be willing to learn, and that takes effort. Contrary to popular belief, I don't know everything, so I have to make time. Oh, yeah, I just see if you guys were awake. So, but I have to make time, and people say, well, you're a pastor. You're here 6 days a week, counting Sundays, right? Sometimes 7 days a week, but there's a difference. But there is a difference between pastoring and discipling, guys. There's a big difference. You have to be willing to give as a disciple, and that takes sacrifice. You have to be willing to invest time into others and trust. That means that you need to be vulnerable and personal. And in this day and age, probably one of the biggest areas that I counsel in with individuals, how they don't trust somebody because they've been hurt by somebody. But in order to disciple other people, you have to be willing to get in other people's lives and allow other people's lives to get into yours. Can I be transparent?
Yes, yes.
It's going over the airwaves, all right? So I had a brother in the Lord over to my house not too long ago. Showing this brother everything that I know, and I'm spending time, and it's not church time, we're not speaking Christianese all the time, we're developing friendship and relationship with one another, okay? You see, Jesus called his disciples friends, amen. Right? Amen. Right? He was their master, but he was their friend, and so to be a friend to somebody, but this is the transparent part I want to talk about. Who doesn't like it with when inanimate objects don't do what you want them to do? Right? You know, something happened. So anyway, I don't know what I was doing. I was doing something in the kitchen, trying to put stuff away. I was pulling clean dishes out. Now, got a brother in the road over my house, but like I said, we're not just talking Christianese. I mean, I'm actually working, doing some other stuff. I'm pulling clean dishes out of the dishwasher, and I'm going to put them in a drawer, and I missed the drawer, and I said, oh, and I don't even know what I said, but it was probably not a good word. And he goes, Padre! With that being said, is to be a disciple and to allow people in your life, or a discipler, if that's a word, to allow people into your lives. It's your whole life. You see, I'm not acting different around this individual. My life is the way it is, and he can see the glory of God in my life and what he's done for my life. And he knows that I'm not perfect because I dropped a clean dish on the floor and said, oh, dang, or whatever. You know what I mean? But the reality is you have to be willing to be vulnerable and be real. okay? Because as I stand up here as a pastor, I'm not perfect, okay? In Christ, in God's eyes, I'm perfect because of the blood of Christ, all right? But in my own self, I'm not perfect. And so to disciple somebody doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it does mean you need to be learning about the things of God and involving yourself. One of the hardest things we have is trying to allow others into our lives. Now, I know as a parent, it would be really easy for me to early on say when my kids were younger, hey, my kids were my disciples. Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go, right? So I'm a follower of Christ, and I was training my kids up. My wife and I both were discipling our kids together. But there does come a point in time in your life where maybe you're looking at somebody else. My kids are grown and moved out of the house right now. So now, what can I do to avail myself for some others? Now, Jesus, being God in the flesh, only had 12. I'm not trying to have more than 12 disciples, guys. You understand what I'm saying? I preach, I teach, I counsel biblical truths to many, but I only have probably 2 to 4 disciples, okay? I preach, I teach, and I counsel biblical truths to many, but I probably only have, let's say, 2 disciples that I, outside of church, not counting my wife, not counting my kids, have time to speak into other people's lives and to show them what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you're getting real heavy on yourself right now, going, oh man, who do I have? Don't be heavy on yourself. Okay? Don't take this as condemnation. This is just a training. But as Christians, we can't be so concerned about our own little bubble that we never get involved with others. How else will the Word of God get out? How will people be trained? How will people understand and know what God has done for us through Jesus Christ? How will they know, those of you that are enlightened by the Word of grace, how will they know that they don't have to do 500 different things to find favor with God? How many people will know if you never tell them that it is by the grace of God that you're saved, not by the works that you do that saves you? They aren't going to know it if you don't spend time and let them know. And then show them, now that you know, these are some things that you can set up so that your life is more fruitful. There are people that you will run into throughout your entire life that will have complaints about how their life is going. But the reality is their life is going that way, let's say in a negative way, because they've set negative things up in their life. So part of discipleship is to show them this is a better way. This is the way. Sound familiar? So, in today, I have some takeaways for you. This is the area I'm closing. This is the area that I want you to take away. There are a lot of ways, but Jesus is the way. I remember when I was growing up in California, I didn't surf, but I boogie boarded, and I spent hours and hours and days and days and days at the beach. As a little kid, I was taking the city bus to the beach with my nephew, 6 and 8 years of age, by ourselves to go to the beach. Taking that story and making it very short, in the process of boogie boarding, if you will, going to Seal Beach, and they had some pretty good waves there at times. Depending on the type of wave, you know, would depend on how good the ride was. Thank God for a leash that would go around your wrists to the boogie board, because I remember getting tossed and thrown and tumbled under this whitewash of water many, many times and not knowing the right way to go. You see, there's a lot of ways, north, south, east, west, in circles, there's a lot of ways, but it wasn't until I opened my eyes and saw the light I knew which way was up. And that saved me from drowning multiple times. And Jesus is the same way. So the takeaway is, there are lots of different ways, but Jesus is the way. When you look to the light, there is safety, there is salvation, and there is breakthrough. And that is something you need to know as a disciple, so that you take that same type of mentality and that same word to the others that you meet, and you say, you know, you may feel lost right now, but there is a way to go that is greater than your way. There is a way to go that points to the light, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Second takeaway, where Jesus is, there is peace. I'm taking this out of Scripture, Luke 24, 36, and John 20, 19, and 20. This is when Jesus was appearing to the disciples after his resurrection. And he would appear to the disciples, and he said in three different areas in the Gospels, peace be with you. You see, when Jesus showed up, and their confusion, and their Messiah was gone, and they had no idea where to go from there because their king that they thought was the king wasn't really the king they were thinking of, but he was the deliverer for all mankind forever and eternal, right? He showed up, and he says, peace be with you. So listen, in this takeaway, where Jesus is, there is peace. As a disciple, to disciple others, you need to know and you need to tell people when they're in torment and they have no peace in their life, you can tell them there's peace in Jesus. There's peace in Jesus. Number three, never stop learning about God. You haven't arrived. None of us. Never stop learning. It is a perpetual, continual process until the day that you die and go to be with him. It is a forever process. Never stop learning. Focus on him. It brings abundant life. Number four, dare to be vulnerable. Trust and treasure. Trust that when you open yourself up, when you open your heart up, when you're transparent with somebody and you're trying to show them the ways of the Lord, trust that even if they do something that you don't like, God still has your back. Listen, Jesus spent 3 years discipling the 12 disciples, right? And at the end of 3 years, one betrayed him and one denied him. But you know what he did? He forgave them. He forgave them. It's okay to allow yourself to be vulnerable. These walls that we build within ourselves to try to protect ourselves, you need to know that God that is in you is much bigger than that wall you built. And sometimes in the flesh, you just need to start taking the bricks down one by one and know that it's okay to open yourself up to talk to others. Amen. Treasure humanity. Remember, it is not the person that is our enemy. It is the sin of the world that is our enemy, and it is the powers and principalities of darkness that we battle against. There are people that will do things that will hurt you, and they will make you frustrated, but how you react to it is so very key and so very important. Treasure humanity. Disciple. That word is a noun and a verb. A noun, person, place, thing. A verb is an action word. So the word disciple equals a person in action. If you are a person in action for the kingdom of God, you are a disciple. Amen? And the final takeaway, and this is my close. This is it. We all only have 24 hours a day. How are you spending them? How are you spending those 24 hours? You know, if your day involves speaking to God, if your day involves glorifying God in one way or another, man, I bought a little aluminum boat for the river yesterday. Needs a little bit of work. Engine didn't run. Got it home. Started playing with the engine, and I am not a mechanic. And I got that sucker running. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then the impeller wasn't pumping water. And I'm thinking, it's going to overheat. And it all of a sudden started pumping water. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just living life. Just the simple things, guys. But we all have 24 hours in a day. You may be very, very busy, but sometimes the busyness that we involve ourselves in doesn't bring any glory to God, and it doesn't do anything for the kingdom. Always remember that we all put on our pants the same way, right? You know, we all should be one team, one fight, and the kingdom of God is a glorious place to serve. Amen? Whew. Let's close in prayer. Father, on this day, with open hearts and open mind, we just thank you for everything that you do. Father, we thank you that we can be used by you. Lord, I know that sometimes we are the only Jesus that people will see. Father, I thank you for filling us with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that even on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the 120 in the upper room, they were all believers, but only 11 were disciples. And you used one of the disciples to bring 3,000 that day into the kingdom. Father, I thank you that there are lives out there being saved. I thank you that you are calling many to come and know you as Lord and Savior. I thank you, Father, that those that are here today, Father, all of us together, I just declare we worship and love you. I thank you. And Father, if there's anybody viewing this that doesn't know you, Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you or wish to go deeper with you in understanding and knowledge, I pray, Father, you just open their heart to receive. Father, you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've given us the fruit of the Spirit. You've given us the love that we need, the joy that we need, the peace and the kindness and gentleness. You've given us self-control and patience, Father God. Father, I thank you that as a disciple, we can put that into action. Father, bless each and every one that came today. Father, protect them and their families, Father. We just glorify your name. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.